Turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Now, for those of you who are visiting with us, either for the first time or visiting with us, just been with us a short little while, years ago when we started this church, we started in a bunkhouse on a ranch just across the Nueces River. A very small group, and eventually, in short order, we outgrew that facility, and then we moved to a metal building on Leopard Street, and I think it was 13130 Leopard Street. I knew we wouldn't be there long, not with all those 13s. It really wasn't a church building. Obviously, it was very, very much in an industrial area and wasn't conducive to church growth, but that building filled up in short order, and then it became incumbent on us to leave. The landlady wanted to sell that building, and we didn't want to buy it. So we bought this land, had it platted, saved our pennies, and we built this church. And when we started construction in May of 2005, we were $250,000 short of being able to finish this building when we started. And so we made an effort to have an interim construction loan in place in the event that we were going to need the money to build the church. And so we prayed, and we continued to give to missions and continue to build. And the Lord just worked it out through the gifts of the saints that we never had to draw a dime on that note. So we came into this building debt-free. And today is a lighter day. There are many days when we're here and every front row is filled with people. And so we know for a long time we've reached the capacity of this building and have been praying about a time to start. And we decided last year in August that we would wait until we had enough money in the bank to be able to complete a shell and a lot of the interior work that was going to need to be done and a lot of site work. And by the end of the year, we'd gotten to that place, and so we've recently met and decided that we're going to go on and build. Well, same situation. We've got most of the money in the bank, but not all of it. And you know, I wanted to go into this thing completely by faith and trust the Lord, and so we didn't do anything about going to the bank to get an interim construction loan to finish in the event we didn't have the money. The best way to not go into debt is just not to borrow it. Amen. And so that's obviously something that's been on the mind, and you know that I don't sit here and use this pulpit as an opportunity to badger people for money. Never have, and I'm not going to start doing that today, so relax. But I've been reading through Kings and Chronicles and all that kind of stuff. I just finished 2 Chronicles yesterday, and in doing the reading, you know, I came across this passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, and I'll tell you something, it's a very fitting passage of Scripture for us today where we are in the life of this church. We're not going to read the whole chapter. We'll begin reading with verse 9, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 9. The Bible says, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee." This is a word to David, and David is now speaking to his son Solomon about that word, and he says, the word of the Lord came to me, and he says, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon." His name means peaceable. You're familiar with Shalom, so there's a lot of similarity here. Solomon, peaceable. And that's because all the wars were fought in David's time, and by the time Solomon comes to the throne, he's really subdued all the enemies. "I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days." Verse 10, "He shall build an house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he hath said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble I have prepared for the house of the Lord and 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, and thou mayest add thereto. Solomon had to add thereto. As much as he had prepared, they still had 150,000 men that were hewing stone and cutting timber to build this house. Verse 15, moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. Of the gold, the silver, and the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. And David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Father, we ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit will guide us completely through the preaching and teaching of the words of God. And I pray, Father, you will instruct us as a congregation together in the things that you have for us that are in this text that you alerted to my attention while I've been reading. And I ask you, Father, that your Holy Spirit will do this in such a way that we'll all know the message came from you and not from a man. And, Father, that we can be obedient to it because it's your words and not ours. And we ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before David died and Solomon ascended to the throne of Israel, God gave David the pattern for this temple in writing with his hand upon him. Quite an unusual thing because, I don't even know exactly. I know the Spirit of God was involved in that, but how does God put his hand on the man and give him the pattern? Does he trace the pattern out with his hand? It's a very unusual thing, but David and the Lord had a very special relationship for him to be able to do that. And in this passage, David charges Solomon to build the sanctuary of the Lord, he calls it in verse 19. Build ye the sanctuary of the Lord. And in order to build it properly, David gave Solomon very specific instructions on how this thing should be built. Now, those instructions that were important for Solomon then are also important for us today in the same way, to build our sanctuary. We need to do the same thing that Solomon did under David's charge back then. And you'll see it as we go through the text. First of all, we need to set our hearts and our souls to seek the Lord. Notice verse 19 again. Now, he doesn't say, now go build. He says, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Then he says, arise therefore and build you the sanctuary of the Lord. You see that? Seeking the Lord with your heart and with your soul is first and foremost in everything you do and in everything that I do. It's funny how when suddenly you break ground and start seeing things happen over there, that everything associated with that seems to take precedence over everything else. And truly, if you've ever been involved like many of us were in the construction of this building where we actually had a lot of hands-on, you just eat, live, breathe, and sleep everything that's associated with the building. And it's very hard to wake up in the morning and your first thought to be on a God that you cannot see, in a kingdom that you cannot see, but in which you've entered through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have fellowship with that God without thinking about, God, you need to help us buy that can of nails or recover this blister or whatever the case may be. It's easy to neglect time with the Lord when building a sanctuary, building a home, anything else. The woods are getting ready to go to Moldova during the missions conference. They believe God has called them to go, and they are making every kind of preparation now to do that. Their house will be sold. Their possessions will be distributed. I had a good look at some of those the other day. No. As a matter of fact, I meant to announce to you, and I need to say now, that Mary Jones, Pam's mother, has diligently sewn a quilt, and you'll see it on display here in the foyer probably this evening. We got it this morning, just didn't with everything else, praying and everything else, just didn't take the time or have the time to put it up. But she's done this in hopes that through your desire, you may look at that and realize this is something that you want and at the same time are willing to purchase. She wants the proceeds of that to go to her family so they can use that to help move to Moldova. Isn't that something? And you'll see that on display. I've got it in my office right now in a pillowcase. You may never see it. Now I'm going to try to get it up before Ann sees it. Anyway. But you know, while they're going through that, it would be very easy to focus on visas, finances, support, airline tickets, what goes on in Moldova, and neglect the Lord. It'd be easy to do that. And he said, you want to get something done like that? You want to get something done like that sanctuary? You set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Listen, according to this passage here in verse 11, the Lord has to be with us. Look at verse 11. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. You know something? Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, the Bible says. We waste our time to give all of our attention to that thing. You know, in the order and course of events, that building will go up should the Lord tarry for our generation and the work that we're doing now to lead souls to Jesus Christ. It will probably survive into the next generation of children that are raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as God is my witness, as much as I hate to say this, it'll probably go into apostasy in the third generation. You say, why is that? Because that's what's happened to Bob Jones University and Moody Bible Institute. And it happens to all things that eventually go that way. So you don't want to make it extravagant. You don't want to put too much money in it, but you want the Lord to prosper that and be in that work as much as he can for as long as he can to get as much as he can do with it, because eventually it goes to the dogs just like the rest of these things. And I don't have any aspirations about that that are beyond that. I realize that's what's going on. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't start out with the Lord in it, it's going to go to the dogs before you see this generation. You got to start with the Lord. We have to seek the Lord. We've got to stay faithful in our Bibles and in our prayer and in our time of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Listen, we have prayed, we have met, we have discussed, we really believe this is something that the Lord wants to do. You know then, if that is, that's something that God wants to do with that building. And so we have to do it His way. And that's why we have to seek Him. We have to seek Him through the building of it, because not all the provision is here. And I'm sure that's of the Lord to keep us praying through the project. If every penny was in here, we say, well, we got all that done. We can go on to something else. No, you're going to have to get a hold of God. And God's got to get a hold of us. But then once it's completed, we have to do in that building what God wants done the way He wants it done. Because He's building it for a reason. And I believe it has a lot to do with where we are right now in our own spiritual lives and where we are in trying to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll have the opportunity to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Families will have the opportunity to find Jesus Christ here and grow here. And some get called to the mission field here, and young people grow up and not stray off like so many have done before, but actually continue with a place where they can get married and raise their families in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. We have to set our hearts and souls to seek the Lord. Hudson Taylor wrote in his journal, Hudson Taylor was a great missionary to China, he said, our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that His children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect that He will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if He did, He would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Seek the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. This is truly first and foremost. You know, when he describes what this temple is going to be used for in verse 19, he said, it's going to be used for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, the holy vessels of God, that are going to be brought into this house that is built in the name of the Lord. May I tell you something? We're not going to have holy vessels in there like these, but that ark represents the presence of God Almighty in that place. And I've been to churches where God wasn't welcome, haven't you? And in that temple, there was a table of showbread representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every time we get together, we're going to break bread. We're going to open this word right here, and this will be first and foremost and preeminent in everything we do. Feeding sheep and preaching the word of God, hoping that souls who are lost will come to the Lord Jesus Christ through the words of God. There's also the candlestick, evidence of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit has got to have liberty to work in our midst and do whatever He wants to do and bring reproof and bring a rebuke to any soul that needs it and be able to follow His thing. There is an altar of incense in there, and we will never forget that we pray on Sunday morning, we pray on Wednesday evening as a church body for the work of the Lord God. Those articles that go in there remind us of the things we need to be doing in that building. They concern the Word of God, the fellowship of the Lord God, the work of the Holy Spirit, and prayer. The second thing we need to do that are in the instructions that David gave Solomon would be not only to set our hearts and souls to seek the Lord, but also to be strong and of a good courage. Look at verse 13. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of a good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. And we need not to dread nor be dismayed. There's a healthy sum of money in the bank right now to get a good start on that thing. There's a healthy sum of money that's still needed. It can be very easy to start getting kind of concerned about, oh man, what are we going to do? Listen, if the Lord wants this done, He will get it done. And you can count on Him. Put your faith and courage in the Lord's God. You know what happens a lot of times in church building programs? People say, oh, well, I hope you're not in a church building program. When I call my pastor friends, hope you're not in a church building program. You know why? They know it just has a tendency to wear out the congregation, and it has a tendency to wear out the preacher. I don't know how many times I've heard stories of preachers that were involved with their churches during a building program. As soon as the building got built, they suddenly got called somewhere else. You say, what in the world would that have been about? I can tell you what it would have been about. There would have been so much fussing and fighting through the project by the time it was done, they couldn't stand to stay there anymore. Or they put the church in so much debt, they couldn't stand to face the responsibility of having to pay it all back. People get edgy in a situation like this. People quit, church members quit, pastors resign, the main ministry suffers. You say, boy, we sure are excited about getting into this thing. I don't mean to dampen your excitement about it whatsoever. I look forward to what the Lord's going to do. But you know something? It's hard. Have you ever built your own home? That's hard. You know, it's one thing to buy one that's ready-made and just move. They say that's one of the most stressful things you can do in your life. Well, I'll tell you what, to sit down and actually plan it out and build that thing, it's altogether another thing. You got to be strong. You have to be strong. You know what? This is something that's ours. I realize it's the Lord's, but it's something that's ours. And just like when you go through hard times in your own family, you got to be strong in hard times and in difficult times. And when you're strong in situations like that, you know that sometimes in your own life you've looked at a weakness in your life and you said, man, that thing was about enough to ruin us, but you put so much effort into what it took for you to be strong there, that became the source of your strength after it was done. I know there's another church in town that was going through a building program, and some members there and I are friends, and they came to see me one day, and they said, you know something, we're thinking about leaving our church. We're not really sure this is a good direction for us to be. This is hard. And I said to them, I said, don't leave your church just because it's tough right now. You'd think I'd jump on the opportunity, right? These are nice people and good friends. Oh, yeah, bless God, I can see that. That's God's hand all over that. You need to come here. I said, stick it out. Stick it out. It's just hard during times like that. And they stuck it out and got in there, and I saw them later. And you know what? They were thankful that I didn't take advantage of them in a vulnerable moment to try to remove them from a good church or from underneath their pastor. So be strong and then be of good courage. You say there'll be times where you're looking at that going, man, how in the world? Listen, your God is a whole lot bigger than you know. You know Him to be just as big as you've ever had to rely upon Him, but He's bigger than that. And just because you've never experienced how great he really is doesn't mean he's not that great. It just means you hadn't experienced that yet. Let me tell you something before we continue on. I know we've got somebody that are visiting here today. And let me tell you something. I don't want you to just feel like you came here for a pep rally to get a bunch of people in the church excited about something that's kind of hard to do. Listen, our God is so great, he can save your soul. He saved mine. And I'll tell you, if we sit down together and we could share stories, you'd say, man, he saved you? I'd say, yeah, he saved me. And he can save you too. We're talking to you about these fellows getting ready to go over to Moldova in the summer for what may turn out to be more than a survey trip, depending on how the provisions are before they go. But it eventually leads to them going over and helping Brother Hamilton. One time a fellow was flying on an airplane, and the fellow said, what do you do? He said, I'm a missionary. And he said, that's great. He said, where are you a missionary to? He said, I'm a missionary to Africa. He said, well, those heathen over there really need the Lord. He looked at that guy. That guy was an attorney. He said, yeah, there are a bunch of heathen attorneys I know that need him too. That pretty much cooled off the conversation right there. Bunch of heathen at Walmart that need Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to Africa to find the lost, okay? They're right here. They're right here. And it takes, listen, we're talking about courage. You know what, I'm going to tell you what? It takes strength and courage on your part to face the fact that you're without Christ and you need him and that you have to humble yourself to receive him as your Savior. You say, how do you know it takes courage to do that? Because it took me some courage to do that. And then it takes a lot of courage to stand on your faith when other people want to make fun of you for not being what they were before you got saved. I know what's in your heart right now. And let me tell you something. God is bigger than your fears. Do you know who Eddie Rickenbacker is? Some of you are nodding your head like that. If you don't know, you need to look him up and read about Eddie Rickenbacker. That guy is a hero. Very famous, and I won't go through his whole story here. But for the longest time, he held the record in the number of enemy planes or flying artillery shot down. He had 26 kills, which was quite amazing because he did this in World War I, all right? And military aviation had its birth in World War I. Eddie Rickenbacker said, courage is doing what you're afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you're scared. So if you find your knees start trembling a little bit like that, remember what David said to Solomon. You get involved in that thing, hey, strengthen up, get some courage, and go on and face it. We'll follow the Lord. And then notice something else here in 1 Chronicles chapter 22 that David said in verse 14. Now behold, in my trouble, what kind of trouble was David had? Well, he lost 3 kids and a 4th one right after he died. He had a son that raped a daughter. They were half brother and half sister. He had enemies that he fought all the way up until right here at this time. He had Goliath. He had Goliath's 4 brothers to deal with. He had Joab, who was probably one of the greatest military generals in the Bible. But he and David didn't always get along, and Joab finally left David and sided with David's son, not Solomon, in a rival kingdom. He had that guy to deal with. He had a lot of trouble. And David said, behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1,000 talents of silver, brass and iron without weight, an abundance of timber and stone have I prepared. You know what he did? David, as it got closer to the end of his reign, said, God wants that temple built, and I'm going to make sure my son doesn't have the responsibility of getting all that on his shoulders. I'm going to start making preparations for that now. And he gave to it. Now keep your finger where you are because we're going to come back to this text. But notice what David's heart was when he gave. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And look at verse 3. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David says in verse 3, moreover, because, watch it, I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the house with all, and then go on, you know, describing what that stuff is for. So of the 100,000 talents of gold, he gave 3,000. And of the 1,000 or million talents of silver, he gave 7,000 of his own stuff. Why did he do it? Because somebody put him in a building program and made him sign a pledge card? You'll never see one of those. Not as long as I'm here. I think those things are a guilt trip. I heard a preacher say one time he put his congregation in debt. This is back in the 1970s. Put his congregation in debt to build a great big building because he saw the direction that his church could go in that growing community, and it went that way. He was right. He had a good vision on that. But he put the church deeply in debt, and they gave like crazy to get rid of that debt. So he put him in debt again. And so he said, what'd you do that for? He said, man, if I'd have known that people were going to give like they gave, once we got into debt, I'd have put them in debt a long time ago. Now, that's a practical, carnal way of looking at it. And I'm not saying, please understand something, I'm not saying that every pastor that ever led his congregation to borrow money to build a building did it wrong. You live in an area where you can afford to build for cash. There are a lot of pastors that are in places where if they're going to do anything at all, they can't afford to build for cash. And I'm talking practically speaking now. You say, well, I thought the Lord's going to provide. He provides well. Don't some of you have mortgages? Has the Lord not provided on that? I'm not trying to be overly spiritual or overly businesslike. I just want you to know, I want to make that caveat statement. We're not going to go there because we're in an area where we don't have to go there. Okay? Now, where was I? No, notice what David didn't do this because of some debt. David didn't do this because of some obligation. David didn't give because of some pledge card. In verse 3, why did he give? Moreover, because he said, I have set my affection to the house of my God. That's why he did it. Because he loved what God was doing in Israel, and he loved what he could do for God in building that temple. He set his affection on the house of my God, he said. Now, may I tell you something? I recognize that sanctuary we're in right now, this is not the house of God. You know where the house of God is right now? You're it. If you're saved, the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you're saved, how are you treating your temple? So I recognize that this isn't, sometimes people pray and say, well, bless God, we're here. Thank you for us being in the house of God. Well, this is a house in the sense that we have the opportunity to get together here and worship God and hear the Bible preached and taught. May I tell you something? I realize this is brick and mortar and wood and nails and all that kind of stuff, but I kind of like it here. You know, one of the things that I really enjoy about this building is that many of you didn't start coming to church here until after this building was built and nobody here saddled you with the responsibility of paying for it. Amen. This is our gift to you. And I'm kind of happy about that. And you know something? There are going to be more people that are going to get saved. And I don't want them to have the wrong idea that we want them to get saved so we could get into their pocketbook and that they have to fork over a lot of money to pay for something that they may not have necessarily wanted. I want them to benefit by it without having to pay for it. That's our gift to the folks that God's going to lead to Jesus Christ down the road. And you know what? I kind of like that. It's not ornate. It's not fancy. You don't see any stained glass around here. So what's the matter? You don't like stained glass? I love stained glass. I think it's beautiful. But stained glass costs a lot of money unnecessarily that could be put into a mission. Or could be put into the souls of men, into the Bibles and tracts and other things like that. It's not ornate, but it's clean and it's fancy, and it works for us. And you know what? That building is going to be just the same way. It's going to be nice. It's going to be clean. It's going to be comfortable, air-conditioned. Some of you are like, man, I wish this building wasn't air-conditioned. But it's our gift to those folks that God wants to reach in this community who aren't saved yet. Listen, Solomon recognized that the heavens of heavens could not contain the Lord, so he knew that house wouldn't contain the Lord. And when Israel strayed and turned their back on God, God flattened that house. And he could easily do the same thing to us. I'm telling you, we got to do what God wants to do God's way. But let me tell you something. The money that it's going to take to finish that deal is going to come from the same place that money came for that's in the bank to get it started. It's going to come from God through you. It's not going to come from you. It's going to come from God through you. And you say, well, how's the Lord going to do that? You don't even have any idea what my finances are like. God's very interesting when it comes to things like this. Let me just tell you a couple of little stories and then we'll move on. Because people get nervous when you talk about money. You talk about their souls all day and tell them, bless God, you're going to hell without Jesus Christ. Oh, well, whatever. Let's go to lunch. Come in here and say, God wants you to give $5, and suddenly they get their hackles up. They want to fight. That preacher I was talking about money. Well, I just told you you're going to hell without Christ. That didn't bother you? Just relax. It's okay. Some folks love God and love God's work and don't mind this discussion at all. And I'll tell you why. What I've seen in my years of the ministry, this year, in August, I'll have 20 full-time years in the ministry, and I was doing things in the ministry before I ever went off to Bible college, starting around about 1987, so been more than 20, but we're about 25 now, if you take all that. But here's what I've noticed. God's done two things with folks whenever there was something greater than the ordinary deal going on in the church. The first thing I've seen him do is provide more monthly income so that you can do more on a regular basis. I've seen him do that. How many of you have ever experienced that in your lives? I've experienced that. All right? And you know something? The Bible said, it is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. I know where it comes from, and I'm glad to return him the favor. Because I don't need to spend it all on myself. I have learned a long time ago, I cannot fulfill all my lusts. I tried, but I can't fulfill them. They're never satisfied. Here's the other thing he'll do. He'll give you some extra money that you weren't expecting. And it may surprise you how much that can be. I know I was up, a pastor has an annual stewardship conference. He asked me to come and preach in his annual stewardship conference. I'm a layup for it, right? Because banking business, Bible, you know. I should be able to talk to people about money, right? So I went up there, and so I said to them, and God may bless you with some unexpected money in the very near future, and if he does, it may very well be for this part of your ministry. I left, and a week later, I got a telephone call from a church member who had asked the pastor for my phone number, and they said, you'll never believe what happened after you left. We got a check in the mail for over $12,000, and it's a good thing that you came and preached to us before that happened because we knew exactly what God wanted us to do with the money. We've given it into that thing for the church, and boy, the Lord just blessed that deal abundantly. You say, well, bless God, I'm glad you did it up there because if it happened down here, I wouldn't be calling you to tell you I just gave that money to the church. Okay, but I'm going to tell you. I've watched it happen again and again and again. How many of you can raise your hand now and testify, God has given me extra money at a time when I knew it was something he wanted me to do for him in the ministry? I've seen it happen. And listen, that should be a delight that God, you know what? God privileged me with the opportunity to be able to do this as a conduit and is willing to reward me for it later. What an unusual thing. Amen. Yeah, amen. That's the place. It's written in the notes right here. Congregation says amen right here. Be careful. Amen. So what do we do? The instructions we've seen so far are, first of all, set our hearts and souls to seek the Lord. Secondly, be strong and of a good courage. Secondly, third, give of our own proper good. Give of our own proper good. And the Lord blesses that. Let me just say one other thing. I've watched people dedicate time to do things for the Lord, like build this building, at a time when they had more time than they have now. And as I mean, the moment that the paint dried and the church moved in, God added to their business and gave them things to do that they hadn't before. And with that, gave them more than ample money for the time they spent and dedicated to the work of the Lord. I see some of you nodding your head. I know who you are. You know who you are. And I've watched God do it. Amen. Right there. So what else do we need to do? Move on, preacher. You've been on that subject too long. Okay. Amen. Okay. Well, and then another story. No. Here's another thing we need to do. We need to cooperate with each other in the work. Verse 15. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. We have to cooperate with each other in the work. Always, always in a growing church, manpower is the key to handle the spiritual growth and the numerical growth that follows. And one of the things that we've been blessed with is that we've always had laborers willing to do something in here when it's come to Sunday school classes and things like that. We have this approved workers and people that have applied to work in the congregation and so forth like that. And I tell you, it's a blessing. But you know something? If the Lord continues to bless this church and we grow spiritually, we are going to reproduce, and when we reproduce, we're going to grow numerically. That is a very normal course. And you know what that's going to require? More of your time. And we cooperate with each other in the work. Years ago, when we were still in the metal building, we had Tom Gear come. Brother Tom Gear has a children's ministry, and we knew we needed help with our Sunday schools. And so Brother Tom Gear came, and he came with his wife, Chris, and we had a whole bunch of people show up for this week-long workshop, and they'd come right after work every night for a week and come on Saturday, and we were here all day. Big workshop, lots of work. And you know what? He said two things we've never forgotten. They've just become our motto. Hey, some of you are already doing this. What we do together, and many hands, help me, make light work. And we do that because it is absolutely the truth. And we need to cooperate with each other in the work. We're having a meeting tonight with the specials, all the people that sing in specials and in Young and Heart Choir. What's the reason? So that we cooperate together in the work of the Lord as it concerns singing praises to the Lord Jesus Christ and special music. What is that all about? Listen, it's easy as a church is growing to want to divide something that God is trying to use together to reproduce. All right? And we do better when we stay together in something like that, just like David had prepared for Solomon. He said, you've got a lot of workmen here. They can hew, they can work in stones. You've got all kind of manner of cunning men for every manner of work. And as we said before, and I guess it was last Sunday when I preached, every one of you is in a body, the body of Christ, and you're in a local church, which is right here, and you have a particular gift or a particular talent that works well in concert with the other people that are in the body to accomplish a task that God wants you to do. Listen, I have two eyes. One is better than the other. My right eye is better than my left eye. Where are you? But you know what? They work real well together. I just had my eyes examined last week, you know, and they said, read what line. What line can you read up there? I read the bottom line. Said, you're doing that with both of your eyes. We know your left eye's no good. Like that. Then I had to read way up there on the deal like that. But you know what? They work real well together. Now, if I were to take my good eye, pop it out, stick it right up here, and leave it alone by itself, what good is it? It's a good eye. But it's of no good. Just, can you imagine, oh, we're going to go to church today. What are we going to do? We're going to listen to the eye of the preacher preach. There was one guy, he's dead now. He was with the Rock of Ages ministry. And he said, I'm looking at you with my God-given eyeball. We're going to go to church and look at our pastor's God-given eyeball for an hour. Then we're going to go home. What good would that be to you? Huh? No good, thank you. Be of no use to you at all. In my socket, as a complete body, it's been real good for you because it was able to read through some scripture to help get the message together, correct? And it has to work in concert with the rest of my body. Now listen, some of you are like an eyeball. What good are you out there not in church? No good, thank you. Pass the notes. You work well when you work together. Don't work so well when you work alone. Amen. And then notice this. He says, arise and build that sanctuary. Well, in order to do that, we got to set our hearts and souls, seek the Lord, be strong and of a good courage, give of our own proper good, cooperate with each other in the work, and then finally this, go get the inhabitants of the land. Look at verses 17 and 18. David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. David subdued the inhabitants of the land because they were the enemies of Israel. And that way Solomon could have rest. Do you know what you have out here all around the walls of this church inside of Corpus Christi and over there in Alice and over in Orange Grove and down in Kingsville and out over here at Ingleside and Portland and over there in Edroy? You know, and out on the island and by over there in Beeville. And you know what you got? Enemies of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 that we were ungodly before we got saved. The Bible tells us that we were enemies of the Lord before we got saved. And you know what they need? They need somebody to go out there and subdue them for the Lord. Not subvert them with bad doctrine, but to preach the gospel to them until they get saved. Now, a lot of people say, we're going to go out there and win our community to the Lord. We have a church here in town, and he goes, I guess they're still doing it. I know I visited with him years ago, and they're about 125 people, something like that. I said, how things are? Oh, bless God, man, we had the best year we've ever had. We had 5,000 souls saved last year, 435 baptized, still had 125 in the church. I saw him a few years later, how are things going? Man, we had 5,350 saved. We had 500 baptized. Church is still 125. What's wrong with that picture? You say, well, bless God, at least they got in the kingdom of God. Maybe. Maybe. You know what's wrong with that picture? I believe that the Lord not only wants us to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wants us to stay with them until they get discipled to become like you are. Faithful church members who can reproduce, who can cooperate with others, who can participate in the work, who can raise their families in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, who can do something for God, God's way. And you know what? That takes a little more work. Listen, if I just want to go out and win a bunch of souls to Christ, I can go over here and say, David, you saved? No, I'm not saved. Well, you want to get saved, don't you? You don't want to go to hell, do you? No. Well, here's how you get saved. Receive Jesus Christ. Take my hand, pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you, God, for dying for me. And I receive Jesus Christ, my Savior. You're saved now. Bless God. Let's go. Get another one. That's one. You say, people don't do it like that. Are you kidding? Yeah, they do. If I take an interest in him and in his wife and his kids and in his growth and in his business and to help him to become the man of God that God wants him to be and meet some other folks that are like-minded in Christ and help that family to grow, they're going to be better off for that. Amen. They're going to be better off for that. So what we have to do is we got to go get the inhabitants of the land. And I'm thinking about, here we are starting this building at the same time we're starting a soul winning class. And I'm thinking, you know what? I believe that's by the Lord's design. Why? Because he wants us to be proficient in dealing with souls and bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to become strong in the Lord. They need to become strong in the power of his might. And I believe that making the effort to give them the gospel the right way is going to be a big help in making that happen. So as I look at this thing here, and we have this big task on us, arise, the Lord says, and build the sanctuary. I believe these five instructions that God gave David to give to Solomon are the key to doing that thing right. They really are. And you know something? If we really do set our hearts and our souls to seek the Lord, if we really are strong and of a good courage, if we really do give of our own proper good, if we really do cooperate with each other in the work, and we really do get the inhabitants of the land, I believe that we will have accomplished what God wanted us to do with that thing. And it'll be done right. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. I love the Scripture. People say, don't read that Old Testament. There's nothing in there for saints. not the way we read it. Lord, this is a fabulous message for a fabulous time. And I pray you'll encourage our folks. This is really something that you've given us to do as a church. And I pray we'll do it right and do it faithfully. And that all of us that start will finish together with it. Lord, we pray we'll hear miracle after miracle of the way you've been making provision to finish up the work that you've given us to do. Pray you'll give us wisdom on how you want us to accomplish that. Now your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I didn't preach the gospel today, but I did say something to you. That is gospel. And I told you that without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't go to heaven. And I didn't say that to be judgmental. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know whether you received him or not by yourself. without me having to tell you. The Holy Spirit's making that plain to you. May I just tell you something while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed? Jesus will save you today in spite of the fact that we preached about a sanctuary. If you want Him, we can show you from the Scripture how to receive Him and why you need Him. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want to put you under the spot or in pressure in any way, shape, or form. What I'm going to tell you is the offer to receive Jesus Christ is good today. And not today only, but at such a time as you recognize in your own life you need Him. If you recognize that today, I would love to have the opportunity to sit down with you and show you from the Scripture why you need to be saved and how you can be saved. Wouldn't take you 10 minutes, but you'd leave here saved. Father, I ask you please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've got a soul here ready to receive you, that your Holy Spirit will let them know the offer we just made is good and that they can deal with us this afternoon right after this service and come to Jesus Christ. I pray for our folks, Father, that are in this church, that you'll keep us strong and keep us together. Keep us encouraged, Heavenly Father, and filled with your Spirit. And I pray as we seek you, Father, we'll find you easily and that you'll be preeminent in all that we do in all of our ways. Father, we do pray that you'll make provision through the saints of this church. Take care of every bill we face so that we go into that totally and absolutely debt-free, knowing that we have accomplished what you wanted us to do your way. And we ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen.